This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Why are we getting so many bike lanes on the roads? Can your kids earn a free bike? What is bike share? And is the Kansas City region becoming more walkable? Find out today on Radioactive Magazine on Transit Talk. I'm Janet Rogers of Transit Action Network. We're a Kansas City regional transit advocacy group fighting for riders, improved and expanded transit, and the cost-effective use of public money for transit. If you want additional information, go to our website on transactionkc.com. I'm speaking with Eric Rogers and Kristen Jeffers. Eric is Executive Director of Bike Walk KC and chairs the Kansas City, Missouri Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Kristen, who recently joined Bike Walk KC as Communications and Membership Manager, is known nationally for her blog, The Black Urbanist. Welcome to the show. One of the most important aspects of taking transit is what they call the first and last mile. How did you get to transit and how will you get to your destination once you leave the bus or train? Most people walk or ride a bike at either end of the journey. So transit advocates are usually bike and pedestrian advocates as well, since we all work together and every public bus in our region has a bike rack in the front. Since it is summer, I decided it was a great time to discuss what is happening on the biking and walking front. Eric, just what is Bike Walk KC and what's its mission?
Well, thank you for having us, Janet. Bike Walk KC is a local nonprofit that works in advocacy and education. Our goal is to improve walking and biking across the region to make it safer, more accessible, more enjoyable, and more comfortable.
Well, the number of bike lanes I've seen has increased a lot in the last decade. Why do you think there's such an increase interest in biking and providing bike lanes?
I think it's something that most cities in the U.S. and really around the world are experiencing. Significant increase in demand for safer and more accessible places to bike and walk. Communities are increasingly recognizing that biking and walking are important for health, for sustainability, for recreation, economic development, and all kinds of reasons like that.
Well, how does Kansas City region rank as being bike-friendly? And which areas in the region have the best or most bike lanes?
Kansas City has historically ranked pretty low for bikeability and walkability, although in recent years we've started to make some pretty good progress. Currently, we know that a lot of the biking happens in the downtown and midtown area. We also know that there's a lot of biking, especially recreational biking on the trail systems around the region. You see really good trails in Johnson County, Lee Summit, Blue Springs, and the Northland, and increasingly in Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, what new improvements are you seeing in the works?
We're starting to see a lot of work going on around planning and public policy. Several communities in the region have new plans in place to increase the number of bike lanes and trails and sidewalks. For example, earlier this year, Overland Park adopted its first ever bike master plan, specifically for on-street bike lanes to complement the city's existing and robust trail system. And they're going to make a really big push to implement that quickly. The city just established their budget for the coming year and is planning to put in about 30 miles of bike lanes throughout Overland Park in 2015 alone. Leawood also passed a new bike and pedestrian plan earlier this year, and we're looking forward to seeing that getting implemented. Another big project coming up in Kansas City, Missouri is a downtown bike route network. About 12 or 13 miles of bike lanes are coming throughout downtown and making connections to places like the West Side and 18th and Vine. And a big part of that is the road diet that's coming up for Grand Boulevard. The city's going to take a little bit of space that's currently used for cars and repurpose it for bike lanes and making it more safer and accessible for pedestrians, transit riders, and really everybody using the route.
Hey, Grand is the first place they're going to try the road diet, isn't it?
It will be the first big place. There have been a couple of other smaller ones around the region, but Grand is certainly the biggest and the most prominent, and it should be the best example. In fact, we just heard that some folks from St. Louis are already planning to come out in the fall and check it out when it's implemented on the ground to see how it works, with an eye towards doing something like that in St. Louis.
I know the ACATA is real excited about this too, because they want to make a lot of bus lanes along that road and have shared lanes with the bikes.
Yeah, Grand is really going to be probably the best example in the region of what we call a complete street, which means it's designed and built for everybody. So it will have significant transit service, upgraded bus stops. It's going to have buffered bike lanes, which is a bike lane on the street that has an extra painted zone that provides additional separation between bikes and cars, upgraded crosswalks, and several other features that will make it a complete street for everybody.
Yeah, I think it'll be kind of interesting to the community, though, because Grand has been such a huge boulevard. And to think about taking out some of those lanes for other purposes, it's going to be interesting to see how it looks.
I think it will be interesting, but there's also really good historical precedence. If you go back to the original George Kessler plan, many of the cities that have the Kessler Boulevard systems were built specifically to include things like bikes. Bikes were named specifically in many of the old Kessler Boulevard plans around the country, just like we have here in Kansas City.
So it's not like it's something new. There's a lot of things we're going back to what we had before.
Exactly.
Kristen, I know you've only been in town for a few days, so I want to welcome you to Kansas City from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Well, thank you.
I know that there's a stereotype of young white males being the focus of all this biking. I love it when people break stereotype and add diversity. And as a young black woman, you've been at the front of pushing for other groups to take up biking. Why did you become an avid cyclist?
You know, I grew up riding. You know, I started with my tricycle. I moved on to training wheels, and then I moved on to a regular bike. My dad really kind of instilled that into me, and I came from a two-parent African-American home. It wasn't like we had a lot at that point, but it was something we could do as a family and something that my dad and I could bond with and enjoy. And so naturally, the one thing that I pulled away from it for a while was, you know, I would ride my bike and I would get teased, and at the time there were a lot of other things going on that would cause that. But I came to a point where I said, you know what, I need to return to this form of advocacy. You know, I went to school, I got a degree in communication and media, I went back and got one in community development, and I felt like as I was starting to hear about a lot of the activity around, you know, coming back to the city, complete streets, bike share, all these sort of newfangled city things that people are doing, and also seeing some elements of history, you know, people who were able to establish, you know, African Americans who established their own towns and cities and who had, you know, downtown areas. There were black cyclists in the 30s who were in the Tour de France. You know, it's nothing new on my end either, and I really wanted people to know that, to feel comfortable doing that. And really, there's a lot of work. You know, there are a lot of African-American cycling clubs across the country. There are some here in the Kansas City metro area. There are some who are just all women or all men, you know, mixed gender. Like I said, our programs that we have here at Bike Walk KC often touch minority communities here in the KCMO area. So it's really just reminding people that this is something we can do. We've always done right. It's a really great physical activity. It helps with the issues that have come up because of obesity. And then also it can be a low-cost activity. You know, a lot of people probably see the spandex, the mountain bikes, the road bikes, the thousands of dollars that go into that. But at a basic level, you know, one of my bikes is from Target, and I have no problems telling people that. So, you know, just go to the department store, pick up a bike, try it out, see how it feels, and then continue to grow. And that's been my philosophy, and I'm looking forward to being in such a bike, I feel like it's a bike-friendly city. You know, Greensboro, we weren't built on the same type of layout as we are here in Kansas City. But so far, being on the streets, I felt really, really comfortable.
So your impression is that the demographics of bike riders in the country is changing, and we are getting more women and more racial diversity.
Absolutely. I think with social media, I think people who may have been doing it in isolation now feel comfortable saying, hey, this is what I do. a lot of social media is just introducing yourself to the world, telling the world what you do and who you are. And so I feel like just like a lot of social issues, a lot of issues that have come together in the past few years because of the advent of a social media network that's public and available to everyone, I feel like the same thing is happening with a lot of the bicycle lane initiatives, a lot of the open streets, complete streets initiatives. People have always wanted these things to happen. People have been doing this, but now people can tell the world on their cell phones that I rode bike share this weekend, or I took my kid out the bike, or we're working with training wheels, and oh, my kids decided they want to race cycles, and it might be all women, it might be all, you know, a father and son, it might be different, you know, different groups of family makeup now that are saying that we're doing this. So I think it's been there, but the media landscape we're in now helps with people knowing that people exist.
Now, I'm in Blue Springs, and we've got a great BMX track out there, and they have a national BMX competition that's out there every year, and it's really exciting to go watch the kids on that track. Coming up with a women's bike training course in August, too. Aren't you in a conference in September? What's all that?
Oh, yeah. We are doing our next – we're doing a Women's Only Confident City Cycling. Confident City Cycling is a course that a lot of bike advocacy groups offer nationwide, and it helps people who either have never learned how to ride a bicycle and do it with mixed traffic, learn safety, you know, maintenance – just how to pick a bicycle. And we're doing this women's only. You know, once again, you know, there are a lot of people who feel better when they're doing something with peers. And so that's the sort of the purpose of doing the Women's Bike KC events. You know, with City Cycling, it'll be 3 weeks starting the first Wednesday in August. Women will come here to our offices, and we will help them get started, learn everything. And then we have the Bike Summit coming up, Women's Bike Summit coming up on September 19th. Women will come and hear from speakers from all over, talk about all these various elements of bike ownership, maintenance, community building, advocacy building. So just a chance for people to come and network. And again, you know, we do it a lot on social media now, but this will be a chance for people to do it in person. And then if anybody has interest in really learning how to use their bikes or doing it better, the class will be available for them to do that.
And just what is your location?
We're at 3269 Gillum Road. We're right at 31st Linwood, near the Costco, near the Home Depot here in KCMO.
And if people want to know more about that, what's your website?
BikeWalkKC.org.
Okay, that's great activity, and I think there might be a lot of women who would like to take part in that. So if you do, please get in touch with Kristen or Eric at that website, and I'm sure they'll tell you more about how to do that. Eric, just how do we rank for safety in this area when biking? And what are the main safety issues today?
The main safety issues today are really getting to the point where we're providing more space that's dedicated to walking and biking. The kind of the trend nationwide are things called green lanes or cycle tracks or protected bike lanes. And it's, you know, taking the traditional bike lane and taking it up a notch. As I said earlier, like we're going to do on Grand, putting in some extra painted zone for additional separation between cars and bikes. In some cases, also adding bollards or vertical separation curbs between the two modes. Some of those things like green paint on the pavement to provide extra visibility and to separate the different modes through intersections and places where there might be conflicts. Also, another big facet of safety is enforcement. So making sure that our police agencies across the region are fairly enforcing traffic laws for everybody, including motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians, and making sure that, you know, anybody that does want to ride has a safe and comfortable place to do it.
And how do we rank in terms of safety? Are we a fairly safe town to ride in?
We are overall a fairly safe city to ride in. You know, those things kind of go up and down over the years, but generally we're a pretty safe city to ride in. Especially in the last few years, I'm personally noticing that motorists are a lot more polite and willing to share the road nicely with everybody.
Maybe that's because more of them are bikers.
I think so.
That would be good. You are listening to Transit Talk on Radioactive Magazine on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Janet Rogers with Transit Action Network. You can find us at transactionkc.com. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. I'm speaking with Eric Rogers and Kristen Jeffers of Bike Walk KC about biking and walking issues in the region. Their website is bikewalkkc.org. Now, Bikewalk KC has a program where kids can earn a free bike. How does that work, Eric?
Well, it's called Earn a Bike, and it's usually an after-school program that we do in local elementary schools. And kids spend pretty much the whole semester learning how to fix up an old bike. So that's learning how to use the tools, learning how to do things like change tires, adjust brakes, tighten chains, all of those little things. And then at the end of the course, they get to keep the bike that they've been working on. And they've also learned a new skill and hopefully something that will help them throughout their life.
And what grade level are you working with?
Generally 5th or 6th grade is where we do Earn a Bike.
And you have specific schools in the Kansas City area you do that with, or is it available to people all over the region?
For Earn a Bike, we're usually able to do it in 2 or 3 schools a semester, and it's often been in the KCMO Public School District, Hickman Mills, North Kansas City. This fall, we're going to expand it to the Olathe School District as well.
I think it's a great program because you wind up with kids in who are responsible on a bike, but they also know how to fix it.
Yeah, they sure do. And Earn a Bike really started from our other kids education program, BLAST, Bike Lesson and Safety Training. We have a couple fleets of bikes that we take into the local elementary schools, and we teach kids bike safety, bike handling skills, and after 3 or 4 days, they have a graduation ride in the neighborhood around their school. That's often in neighborhoods and at schools that serve diverse populations and often communities where kids may not have good access to a bike or may have a bike and nobody in the home knows how to fix it up and keep it going. So Earn a Bike is a way to make that bike education more accessible to all kids. And we're looking for bikes for our summer school and for this fall. So if any listeners out there have a used bike, we'd love to take that off of your hands. We do take donations. You can find out more at bikewalkkc.org.
It's a great program. Another thing that you guys do is bike sharing. This is a big phenomenon around the world. Every place I travel, I see bikes for rent these days. And your group handles our local bike sharing called B-Cycles. So can you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, so bike share is like Redbox for bikes. We have 21 bike share stations across the urban core, and you can walk up to anyone, swipe your credit card, and a bike automatically unlocks, and you can ride it and then return it at any other station in the system.
No, you mean I don't have to sign up in advance? Like Uber, you have to have an account before you can get a car.
We do offer annual memberships you can sign up for in advance, but if you want to just give it a try or you're in from out of town, you can also swipe your card right at the kiosk.
That makes it really convenient for people who want to do it spur of the moment.
Yeah, it sure does. The other really cool thing about bike share is that it interfaces really well with transit. You know, you were talking earlier about the first mile and last mile of transit trips, and bike share is a really good way to extend the reach of those trips. So for example, something like the streetcar, you know, if you're a couple miles outside of the streetcar area, you could use bike share to get to a streetcar stop or to a MAX stop. We find about 20% of our bike share customers are using the bikes to get to or from a transit line.
And do I have to return it to the same place?
Nope, you can return it anywhere in the system you want to.
And you've got 21 stations now, but that's growing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this year we're adding our third phase, 7 stations. We just opened a station at the Nelson Atkins Museum back in June. And then next week, starting July 13th, we're adding the rest of those stations. And so we'll be expanding bike share to neighborhoods like 18th and Vine, Union Hill in Midtown, and then along the trolley track trail in Brookside and Waldo.
And I know there's a rental fee, but how are the rest of the costs covered? Because I imagine it's a little like transit, that the rental fee probably doesn't cover everything.
You're right. So the rental fee is actually really comparable to transit. It's very similar to what transit talks about as the fare box recovery rate, the revenue that comes from folks putting money into the fare box on the bus. BikeShare is a public-private nonprofit partnership, and so the funding comes from a variety of places. Corporate sponsors, folks like Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Burns & McDonald, Missouri Bank, philanthropic and foundation funds like the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City, as well as some support from the city of KCMO itself.
Well, I'm sure if there are some other people out there that want to donate, they can contact you and you'd be happy to talk to them.
They sure can.
Your book, Walk KC. So let's talk for a minute about the Walk Park, because that's something we focus on too. In fact, we just met with KCATA in the Kansas City Planning and Public Works Departments about some pedestrian-related issues in transit, including more concrete pedestrian paths at bus stops. People shouldn't have to stand in the mud, or wheelchairs shouldn't have to struggle to roll across grass to get to the buses. We're also reviewing the new transit-oriented development code that the planning department has put out for public comment. So what are you working on, and do you think the region is becoming more walkable?
I definitely think it's becoming, I think it is built to be more walkable. You know, there's a lot more preserve of the block system, you know, that people think of. Say, if you were to go visit, say, Chicago or New York, you know, everything's on a grid, the sidewalks are in place. I see that here in Kansas City. Coming from a city that grew up after World War II, you know, we have our downtown area, we have sidewalks there, but then it breaks off. You know, we might have a four-lane, five-lane, six-lane state highway that's our primary, activity hub. And if they're nice, they might have put in crosswalks and sidewalks. But for me, I walk to the office most days. I wasn't able to do that back home for a while, you know, where I was situated. We have also been working with the city, and we are in the process of a movement to fix the crosswalks here in the region. We're switching out crosswalks so that they're more visible, and you'll start to see the crosswalks look a bit more brighter and more striped zebra. There's quite a few different ways you can do crosswalks, and we're actually putting in some that are more prominent here in the area. And Eric can tell you more about the specifics of what you guys, they've been working on here.
Yeah, another really big and important pedestrian project that we're working on is updating the city policy for closing sidewalks during construction. I think we've all seen instances where a sidewalk is closed when there's a construction project going on. Often you'll see the sidewalk closed on both sides of the street or at all four corners of an intersection. And we're helping the city to develop policies to govern that, to provide alternate access when there does have to be a closure, and to ensure that you don't close all access at once and that there's always some sort of an access for pedestrians through some of those big construction projects. Especially as they become more and more common in places like downtown with all of the development happening and the redevelopment happening in other neighborhoods, along with all of the investment in transit, things like the streetcar and bus rapid transit. As we have more and more people out walking on the sidewalks, it's increasingly important that we make sure that those sidewalks are accessible for them.
Well, I know everybody's going to appreciate that, because there's been a lot of people upset about the streetcar and the public works that's been going on downtown blocking the routes for pedestrians. And so those new codes are going to be really valuable and appreciated. Well, that brings us up to the streetcar. What do bicyclists need to know about getting on the streetcar or driving along the tracks?
Well, we're excited for the streetcar. Anything that gets people out of their cars and onto public transit and other modes helps all of us. As a cyclist, you do need to be a little bit more cautious around the streetcar tracks, which is something that cyclists in Kansas City are actually pretty familiar with. This being a railroad town, there are railroad tracks all over Kansas City. And so it's really just a matter of making sure that your tires don't get stuck in the streetcar track, and that, you know, you cross at a right angle as much as possible and are just aware of it and are watching out. And we'll all be watching out for the new streetcar vehicles once they're moving up and down the street.
Yeah, and my understanding that unlike the buses where they stop and you put your bicycle on a rack, that you just roll them right onto the streetcar.
That's correct. The streetcar will have room for bikes, so you can roll your bike right onto the streetcar vehicles. There won't be any special storage system at this time, especially since this is just the starter line. But we have talked to folks at the city and the streetcar authority, and they are aware of the need that as the streetcar is expanded and goes into more neighborhoods and folks are riding longer distances, to look at what some other cities do, some sort of a rack or storage system within the vehicle. But for now, you can just roll right on and just stand there with your bike and get off at any point along the line.
All right. Well, before we close. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about biking and walking in the Kansas City region?
I will say that if you are on a bike, just to remember that you are a vehicle. You have two wheels now. The one complaint a lot of people have about bicyclists is they don't follow the rules of the road. You know, do your best to follow the rules of the road. There are times when the roads seem clearer and there's paths that are a little bit clearer, but just be mindful of that. We want people to just go ahead and use bike share. We ask people to be considerate of, you know, safety issues. If you feel more comfortable wearing a helmet, wear the helmet. I'm understanding here Missouri is not required for an adult to wear a helmet.
Correct.
But it's you and your body. So I take the extra precaution, but you know, if you feel comfortable, but do be mindful of your surroundings. Also, I would say be mindful at night wearing, you know, anytime you're walking, biking, being visible such that you're not on someone's windshield because you were invisible.
I know we talked a lot about things going on in Kansas City, Missouri, but I just want to make sure everybody knows that these issues and this progress is happening all over the region. For example, KCK in Wyandotte County put in their first ever bike lanes last year on Southwest Boulevard, and they're getting ready to put in more bike lanes this year. The unified government has actually made a commitment in the budget to improve sidewalks and work on complete streets and safe routes to school, and really taking a leadership position on these issues. If folks are looking to get more involved in these issues, there are many opportunities. You can, of course, join Bike Walk KC and become a member and volunteer for us and help us out as a citizen advocate. Many communities around the region also have citizens commissions, bike ped advisory committees, and things like that. Places like Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, Shawnee, Lee Summit, Leawood, many places around the region. So there are many opportunities to get involved and help make the community better.
I want to thank Eric and Kristen for speaking with us today and sharing this great information about the bike and pedestrian scene in Kansas City. You can contact them at bikewalkkc.org. I'm Janet Rogers with Transit Action Network, and you can contact me at transactionkc@gmail.com. A couple of quick updates. KCATA is now managing Independence Transit System, which we believe is another strong move toward a better, more seamless regional transit system. We applaud Johnson County Commissioners for making a financial commitment to expand transit services. The region really needs a bigger bus system in Johnson County, and now they're going to work toward that. We also want to welcome the new members of the Kansas City City Council, and we look forward to working with them on various transit issues. Our next transit talk on Radioactive Magazine is August 18th. Thank you.
You have been listening to Radioactive Magazine, a presentation of KKFI 90.1 FM in Kansas City. Radioactive Magazine provides a forum for activist groups and activists in the greater Kansas City area. If you would like to propose interviews, contribute commentaries, event notifications, etc. to Radioactive Magazine, call Dan Connolly at 816-217-5875. Thank you for listening.